Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I feel really fancy today because Emma, as she vapes,
state.
Emma is up. Basically treating me like Amy Huberman because you've come directly, just like you did with Amy, you've come directly from the gym. I can smell you from here.
It's had a while to ferment. Like I did a few bits and then came here. Duh, I spilled chocolate milk on my the bad stuff.
It's you smell lovely.
I spilled chocolate milk on my feet. Milk feet.
Milk feet. It looks like your fake tan has just come off.
Yeah, but you know, at this stage now, I have a gig tonight and I'll shower for that. This is like, I'm just going to sit in this now for the rest of the day.
This is how comfortable we've gotten with each other. I don't even deserve a shower anymore.
It was just a time get away.
I have to tell you now, your washing up powder smells lovely.
Does it?
What's that now?
It's bold. The capsules.
Non-bio or bio? The capsules. Oh, be careful now. They're plastic capsules. People will be on it.
But they disintegrate, don't they? No, these do disintegrate.
Microplastics everywhere. Oh, God, you're killing all the fish. It's terrible, isn't it? Hello.
I haven't even been putting washing on the line. I don't have a line anymore. I use the tumble dryer every day. And I don't tell everyone about that.
Audible gasp.
That's our one luxury. No errors. I'm telling you, go to the dark side. Fuck your errors out and get rid of your washing lines. All Irish people think if they whack on the tumble dryer every day that it's going to be like a £2,000 bill at the end of the month. It's not. It's a fucking, people have been spoofing you about this because they want to keep you in your place and keep you busy putting clothes on errors. Fuck it in the tumble dryer, lads.
Can you remember when mobile phones kind of first started? And this was certainly a thing from my mother. She thought that if you talked for over 59 seconds, that you'd get charged €5 for every single bit you were on.
Yeah.
So there would be a countdown. I'd be like, she's on about 40 seconds now. And she'd just hang up on you at any time. She'd have to get everything in.
She'd time it.
Oh, she was gone she after
knew.
The minute.
Okay.
You know? Yeah. And that's what I think. That we think in Ireland that tumble as soon as you put a tumble dryer on, they go, oh, electric Ireland's going, put on that.
Yeah. Like an alarm goes off.
Oh, yeah. There's like a bat signal going, tumble dryer's on at number 59. Add an extra €20 onto that bill right now, every single time they use it.
Just start sparking up cigars and like, you see me rolling. Whack on the tumble dryer.
Don't though, because it is bad for the environment when you have a perfectly good...
But well, what about your mental health and fucking around with an error for the whole week? I'll move those knickers up now because they're dry, but the jeans aren't dry yet. I'm going to move it around. Oh, fuck, they're coming over. Hide the error. Bring the error back down. They've left the house now. Move the stuff around the error.
Are you talking about a clothes rail?
An error. A clothes rail is a clothes rail. An error is an error.
What the hell do I call them?
An clothes error. Dryer.
No, the clothes dryer. They're not an error.
It's an error.
It's not an error. It's a clothes rack.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm not doing this on purpose. You're airing your clothes.
It's an error.
But it's not an, it, the noun isn't an error.
It is 100%. It's an error.
We're not doing this again. We're not spending a whole podcast disagreeing.
It's an error, but they're totally, oh, put the
clothes horse. Clothes horse. Clothes horse. It's a clothes horse. You put your clothes on the clothes horse to air them.
No, clothes horse is different. Clothes horse is something that you just put your clothes on when you like the, you wore the jeans today, but you'll wear them again tomorrow. It's an error.
What is wrong with your life? That is not a thing. You, if you've worn the jeans today, you take them off, you fold them up and you put them back in your wardrobe.
But you might wear them again tomorrow.
You can wear them again tomorrow. You can just take them out of your wardrobe again.
And put them on the clothes horse.
What do you think is the difference between a clothes horse and, as you call it, an error?
I have started this, right? So I'm not fucking going back now. It's an error.
That is not the noun. Also, you've got a back garden. Do you not? So we've been using our clothes horse. You know the way I've got that patch of concrete out the back door where we keep the bin?
Yeah.
I also put my clothes horse out there. Lads, the smell of it being outside, just around a few bees.
No, like, but does it not feel, no, this is pure L1 territory. This is something my man would say, that it smells
this is
lovely.
Not, this is not a cultural bluff.
Dried outside. There's nothing like clothes dried in the tumble dryer because they are so dry. Look, you put it
they're
on.
They're so dry. Okay, look. Sorry, are you trying to tell me that the clothes from the they're more dry
yes.
than clothes that you get from the line?
100%. Okay, what before we get started, can I just say this? And I'll call it a clothes horse for the benefit of this.
Sorry, you're doing it for why?
Just benefit of you, right? You put clothes on the clothes horse, right? Then you've got to fuck them around because certain things are getting dry before other things. Then you're like checking on them. You're feeling them. You're doing all this stuff. Then you fold them up. Then you put them in the hot press. Then you take them out of the hot press. Do you start ironing them now as well? And then put them away. Do you know what happens when you have a tumble dryer? You wash your clothes and you fuck them in the tumble dryer. Job done.
You don't have to iron?
No.
And that's it. Why? Do they come out wrinkle free?
Most of them. Also, what you can
see
do.
Her face.
She
is just. She's got her chin out, and she's like, "I am just going for. I'm barreling through this. No logic is gonna pull me aside.
No,
this is what I'm doing."
What you can do if you have a shirt or whatever that needs to be ironed, you put it in the tumble dryer with an ice cube, comes out wrinkle free.
Oh, someone has been watching TikTok.
I'm doing it years.
Are you doing it?
Because
are you, sorry.
The ironing board is so annoying to take out.
Are you doing it years?
Yeah, on a promise about that.
Okay. Yeah. You're on a promise about that.
I'm on
Lovely.
A promise.
Shane,
promise.
You're getting sex later on tonight.
I'm just trying to give people their lives back. Just use the tumble dryer.
See, but for those of us who don't have a tumble dryer, nor do you know that we went to view one house.
Yes.
And I was walking around and I was like, but where's the hot press? Where is it? And then he's like, there has to be a hot press. Where is that? Where is
yeah.
that? We dream of a hot press. We dream of going, you know what? We'll put it in the hot press. This is like, that would be, that would be luxury. That
That's
would be living
want.
Like J-Lo for me. Having a hot press to put
So where
stuff
is
in.
Your hot press now?
My radiator. Know.
Okay.
So it's just stuff on top of it. There is no hot press. There is nothing like
See,
that.
See, is that any way to live?
No, it's not. I fully agree. It is absolutely no way to live.
Okay.
But I also can't pay €1 million
but
just
not.
To get a hot press.
It's not though.
What?
Well, no, a hot press is €1 million. Yeah.
So you just think everyone go for it. Destroy the planet with your, because you're destroying the planet.
It's Ireland. If you live in a hot country, yeah, that's a bit scabby. But if you're in Ireland, and it's raining most of the time.
Girl.
You've got to live. You can't be in work at 2 o'clock going, oh, fucking the washing's out on the line. Like, it's just no way to live.
Do you know how exciting that was last week? I had the clothes, I was on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I had the clothes outside and it started to rain. I was like, oh my God, the clothes are outside. Haven't had to do that in years. I was like, this is so amazing. I love it.
So was there a hot press in the house you were looking at?
The last two, there was no hot press. I was like, who are these people? Are these houses shipped in from what land doesn't have hot press?
I say they rarely get asked that when they're going around like house viewings.
I would see her and go, Kate, where's the hot press? Where's the hot press? She was like, oh, right. There was no hot press. Animals. Absolute animals.
Oh, okay.
Did also, I learned, we all have that friend who's good at the old packing and the organizing of their wardrobe and, you know, that,
yeah,
that person.
Yes, yeah.
And the other day she was saying, oh yeah, sure, I've got everything ready for the holiday. They're all done in the tissue with paper as well. I was like, sorry? She was like, you know, the paper, the clothes paper. It's like, what are you talking about? You know, when you go to like Brown Thomas or Marks and Spencer's, do they do it at Marks and Spencer's? No, they don't. Massimo Dutti or whatever.
Yeah.
When they fold it in that paper.
Yeah.
That's to stop clothes wrinkling. So she puts that paper between all her clothes when she goes on holiday. So when she takes it out of the bag, it's not wrinkled.
No.
Blew my mind. Now, are you just saying no because that's too much effort?
I just feel like you need to start masturbating or something because that's too much effort.
But it's what she enjoys.
Where's the paper for the bag?
She has a place where she keeps the paper for the bag.
No. What does she do? What's her job?
She's in the corporate world.
Okay.
Yeah.
Does she have kids, partner? What's going on?
She's got a partner, yeah.
She got hobbies?
Yeah. Yeah, she does.
Is she medicated?
No.
It's just like...
But one of her hobbies.
Do you know what I find is if you go on holidays, and you know what I find is really good if your clothes are a bit wrinkled? Have a drink. Because when you have a drink, you're just like, who fucking cares? That's a, she doesn't drink, does she?
She drinks a lot. Does she? I just think she's a very put together. She's a
Jesus, sort of, she okay? You're saying she drinks a lot. She must be fucked.
I think you know her. She's just one of these people who's really into.
Okay, she's clothes. One of these people. For certain things, certain niche things, she has her shit together. I'm that person.
Yeah.
There's certain niche things. People are like, that's fucking really impressive. And then everything else is a load of shite.
Like the,
is she one of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. I'm on board now.
Very much has her.
I thought if like, no, if that's the way she lives her whole fucking life, if she has tea towels color coordinated or something, I'm just like, oh, for fuck's sake.
No.
But if she just has the packing down.
This is her thing.
Because she's like, I'm going on a bender. She's all excited. She wants to have the full build up. She's making the whole thing last longer because she's putting paper between all the clothes.
I thought
she's chipping away.
But I didn't know what it was for. So whenever
I just thought it was for wrapping, that it was kind of pleasing to the eye.
So whenever I buy stuff in a shop that has the paper, I'm like, I don't want the paper.
Like, okay.
From an environmental point of view, I'm like, we don't need the paper.
But how does it do? How does paper stop things wrinkling?
Listen, get on TikTok after this and I'm sure it'll be a whole new world. You can't even be bothered showering, so that's not going to be a thing. So don't worry about it. Hello and welcome to...
Another Thing.
My name is Maureen O'Connell.
I'm Emma Dwayne.
And this is the podcast where we contribute to, but not add any value to the conversation.
Nothing.
Mission statement. Mm-hmm. So today, we're just going
to
talk about casual sexual assault.
We are. I think, look, it's good to talk about. Let's be real about it.
So
it is good to talk about.
If anyone follows me on Instagram, they may know that I put up a post last week, and it was just something that popped into my head when I saw a picture. Mm-hmm. And it was a picture from VIP magazine where I'm sitting on a ledge outside on a street.
Yeah.
And when we were taking that picture, a fella had come up and pinched my bum. We all started laughing because we assumed that it was someone that we knew.
Yes.
And when it's someone that you know, you're like totally grand. Fine.
Yeah.
You're friendly with them.
Yeah.
So this was a complete stranger. He kept on walking on. And me, as a middle-aged woman, I sat there and I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. I honestly froze and I was embarrassed. And I looked around at everyone else. And then they were kind of all, did that. There was tourists walking down the road laughing. And the next thing, he was American. And he was like, oh my God, do you know that man? And I was like, no, I don't think so. Like, I was speaking really weirdly. Mm. And he was like, oh my God. And then everyone realized, they were like, did that really just happen?
Yeah.
And I am not, come here to me, I'm not fucking traumatized over someone pinching my bottom. But I got home And I told himself, and he was raging. Like, he was properly angry.
Yeah.
Because he's like, if you don't say anything, if you don't do anything, if you don't think this is a big deal, it gets worse and worse and worse. And he was like, in society, we all have a social contract where you have to say that's not right. He was like, I would have gone after that fellow, would have taken his picture and I would have gone to the guards.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's what you would. And I just froze. And then I just felt like an asshole. Because it's not about that. It's the fact I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. And yeah. I'd be worried that something would happen to someone with me. And what am I going to do? Not say anything? Go, that's not right. That's not cool. You can't do that. I felt like a dickhead for freezing and not doing anything. I'm really disappointed in my response.
So I think there's a couple of things there, because I don't know if it was the same for you, but when we were growing up, and if there was people, like when I talked about this on here before, about like the endless flashers I saw as a teenager.
In Rathfarnham.
In Rathfarnham, endless. And at the time, we were all told that the general thing was, it's harmless. He's harmless, it's harmless.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of annoying, but like, look, I wouldn't, you know, wouldn't worry about a thing.
Don't make a fuss.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, don't be, the kind of thing was, oh, he's just a feckin' idiot. Like, don't, you know, don't be worrying about it or whatever. And then obviously, there's like, you know, research later on that mostly people who do that kind of thing or whatever, and like the casual sexual assault, like it escalates.
Can escalate, yeah.
Then I think, say, you still have the hangover of that, because that's what you were taught growing up. So things that you're taught when you're growing up, it's very hard, even though you think you're totally, you know, open-minded individual, you still have all that stuff that you grew up with.
And it is specific to, I would say there's an awful lot of girls, like, yes, it's sort of an industrial, it's conditioning to be, don't make a fuss, it's no big deal. And then as you become a teenager, it's like, you just don't get the joke. God, yeah. She's minus crack. She doesn't get the job.
And there is a thing that if you don't kick up a fuss, and we all know this because, like, we've all been in the experience where you feel safer if you downplay it, because you don't know what that person is like or what's going to anger them. So, like, you feel like if you kind of make yourself small and downplay it, it usually is the safer option. So then there's the thing about speaking up. I totally get that part of it as well. But then there's this cultural thing that it's like, well, the onus has been put back onto the woman to do something about it, that it's now her responsibility, mm-hmm, to take charge of that situation. Whereas if you've gone through something, and obviously there's a huge scale of all these things, but if you've experienced something, at the minimal, something that's kind of like spooked you or questioned your own, you know, privacy within your own kind of invisible barrier of yourself, if that's been broken in a situation where you weren't expecting it to be or whatever, it can take you a bit of time to like do something about it. So when I was younger and that stuff happened, now, there was definitely experiences where I was like, ooh, a bit freaked out. But like, there was stuff with friends that we all kind of laughed off on, whatever, we thought was fine. And then after lockdown, I remember being in town, and I hadn't been in town really since lockdown. And I'm always like, I would have been at the stage, I'd be in town like 5 nights a week or whatever, yeah, gigging. So I felt very like safe in Dublin. The only thing I would have done was I would have been conscious. So you get, you know, the way you just smell something in the air. And I would put my hood up.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of time people will see me around and I look like a little fucking leprechaun because I'm 5'2" and I have the head. But it's a conscious thing.
You do look like a 14-year-old boy.
Yes. Yes. Like, that's what I'm going for.
Yeah.
I want people to not be able to see straight away whether I'm male or female.
And it's just, ooh, youth, stay away from them.
Yeah. And so it's just like a reflex thing. In certain situations in town, I'll just pop the hood up and kind of like vape profusely and just kind of have a little bit of a shape walk, that it's not like, you know,
it's your hedgehogging. This is your hedgehogging.
Totally. Mm. And I'm saying goodbye to posture and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm carrying myself in a different way. But anyway, so I was like going back to my car and a flasher came out to me. He what he jumped towards me. So I actually jumped out onto the road and he started masturbating towards me. And I was like, oh, my sweet Jesus. And then I think, I can't remember exactly, up behind me or something. Because you know the way you think, and this is what all people think, that they will react a certain way in a situation. Because, of course, I could have like shouted or, you know what I mean? But of course, you just feel yourself like freezing. And I saw two guards and I was like, oh, now I'm going to do the right thing. And I told them and I gave a description of the man. And I will be honest with this. I was proper fucking spooked now.
Yeah.
Like I was rattled. And now the guards were very nice and all that. But they said to me, oh, we'll go and have a look for him. And then I was left. And I was really, really nervous about walking back to my car. And I 100% had the keys in my hand.
Yeah.
And I was checking over my shoulder so much. So sometimes even when you do have the wherewithal or the, you know, to do something about it immediately.
Mm. It would have been nice if the guards had just walked you to your car.
That's
to know that
that's
you were terrified.
I was very nervous.
Yeah.
You know,
and it's funny.
But I can't, you can't articulate, you can't, you don't have the wherewithal in those moments to like articulate what you need.
Yeah.
You know, and you're trying,
you don't
you are
exactly
trying to make sure that other people around you, because you're like in a professional setting as well.
Oh yeah, I was making sure they were okay. I was like, come on, let's go. We've got work to do. Let's go.
You don't want them to feel uncomfortable.
No, didn't want them to feel. And as you said, this is a scale. There are such horrific things that happen.
Yeah.
To people, regardless of gender, we all know that.
Yeah.
And it's awful. But the kind of microaggressions that we put up with, it leads to a culture of going, oh, it's fine. Don't be hysterical. Oh, that woman's hysterical. She doesn't get the joke. Why is she making such a fuss?
Yeah.
It's no big deal. Because it's no big deal for the other people. It's no big deal for them. And if we are talking about, you know, hashtag not all men, but, you know, every woman.
Yeah.
You kind of want those partners in society that will step in and go, sorry, dude, that's not okay. You can't do that. You know, when you're younger and you're hanging around with a couple of guys and you think that you're all equal. This is one thing that a lot of this brought up. You think that you're all equal. You're all mates. It's all good. And then that day that one of them slaps you on the ass and they all laugh and you're sitting there going, oh, you view me in a totally different way to what I was viewing ye as.
Yeah.
We're not this great friends. You view me as other and I'm the one that you can take the piss out of and I'm not, you don't feel I'm as equal to you. And that's the sort of thing that are really, that you're kind of sitting there going, oh, so the world isn't equal. Those little things you realize when you're young, it's really shit. And then when you move on to, like, who hasn't had it? If you wore a skirt when you were in your late teens, early 20s, and you're walking through a pub. And this is one thing that I got on Instagram, but even talking to my own, my friends, we've talked about this a lot over the years. Is, you know, the lads putting the hand up the skirt.
Yeah.
Sometimes moving aside the knickers and going actually up. That's the thing that happened to, I think it's happened to about 80% at least of my friends. I know three people who do not wear skirts to this day because of that happening to them. When they were walking through a pub. And I remember it happening viscerally to a friend of mine once because he went up inside her. As she was walking through a crowded pub, she couldn't move. Her boyfriend was two people ahead of her. She was like, how is this happening when he's two people ahead of us? And she was terrified. And I remember her coming up and she didn't say anything for a few days.
Yeah.
And we were all like, sorry, what? Like up inside her. Mm. She's walking through a pub. And these are things she didn't tell that many people.
Yeah.
But as you said, not only spooked, like she was all over the place after that. Like really all over the place about that.
Yeah.
And it's just a real violation and there's no need for it. Like there's no need for it. And I think I know, like it certainly happened to me walking through pubs and some fella thinking that he can just put his hand up your skirt.
Yeah.
What the hell is that about? Where do you learn that you can do that? At a house party, going to sleep in a room and a fella coming into the bed and putting his hands on you and you don't even know who they are.
Mm.
Like that's happened. These are all things that we've downplayed and minimized so much. as younger people. And now sitting yeah. there, and we're all like, if you find out that it happened to someone that you knew now, like my niece, your daughter,
yeah,
you'd lose your life.
Do you feel like that incident, like, actually brought up those things?
It brought
for
it,
you?
Yeah.
Did it, yeah.
And never doing anything. That's what it brought up.
Yeah.
The fact that I just sat there and didn't say anything. That's why I'm annoyed about it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's obviously the fight or flight mode,
yeah,
which is often taken. There's now this new training for Gardaí, because often it has been, if you didn't try to run away or if you didn't fight back, then it's not sexual assault or rape. That's kind of what the mindset that has been globally when it comes to rape before. She didn't fight back, she must have wanted it. Where it's fight, flight, freeze, fawn, flop. They're kind of the five responses now. So obviously fight or flight, okay. We know what that is.
Yeah.
Freeze, you've had that, as a guy stood out and masturbated in front of you.
Towards me. It was very, do you know
towards
what?
You.
It was so.
Talk about, he multitasked. He was perambulating and masturbating at the same time.
He had a shopping bag in his hand.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
And he was trying to pull off the Matt Damon, wasn't doing it. He was the energy off him was so aggressive.
Yeah.
That's what really threw me. Because I've met other people before where it's been, like when I was a kid, when I was younger, and it was kind of that vibe of, I'm saying, like, looking back, the vibe that I was getting often was, okay, you know, like, I wasn't scared. It was just a different, like, demeanor. Certainly when I look back at it and I think about it, it wasn't good. But like that one, I was scared. But I mean, I don't know what you do. Like, I know, say, like, Ella works in a pub now. And say from when we were younger, and like most of us would have worked in pubs, I do feel like that environment is slightly different in terms of, like, you know, people working in a service industry and having to talk to customers.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, maybe that's kind of moved on. But I am already thinking about, and not just now, like for a long time, about how I will, like, best educate my sons, because obviously you don't want to be this, you don't want to have this thing of like,
you're a natural predator, this is within you. Of course you don't want
and you don't want the other side of my son wouldn't do anything. And
exactly.
Or, because everyone is somebody's fucking son.
Yeah.
You know?
And the boys will be boys thing just has to go. That's,
oh,
it's not a
God,
thing.
Yeah,
that's a culture of she doesn't get the joke.
Yeah.
That's a culture of she's making a big deal out of nothing. Mm-hmm. She's minus crack. That just has to stop.
Yeah.
No, we don't get the joke when you walk up and I don't know who you are and you grab my boob in a nightclub.
Any of the people that were there on the day, have they like checked in about that or
And just kind of going, I still can't believe that. Just going, I still can't believe that. So we've got, like, there's a picture, but it's a picture just of his hand.
Okay.
Going in. And I can't write. Listen, it's not the action. It's not.
I know.
That I didn't
do
anything. Yeah, I'm just pissed off. And I know there's people like, this one's making a big deal out of nothing. It's just that it brought up all of these old memories from, like, walking home from college, walking home from town one night in college. And a guy came up and I remember him asking me how much for a blowjob. And then he curb crawled me like the whole way home. I was an 18-year-old walking home in a pair of flip flops. And he was this owl fella in a Mondeo. outside the cathedral in Galway. And I was just so freaked out. Like, I was freaked out.
Of course.
I was like, I don't know where to go. And this car wasn't pulling away. He just kept on going beside me.
Yeah.
The whole way home. So then I kind of went back to Carrow Village a darker way to get away from him. You know? Even though he's in a car. But I'm like, I just don't know what to do here. I'm by myself walking home at 10:30 at night.
Yeah.
This should be, I'm on a main road in Galway.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just brought up an awful lot of things. And then there's, because it's the fight, like as we said, fight, flight, freeze. Same as you, like freeze. The fawn. So this is what people can do in situations where like a woman will be, a person could be attacked, like say about a potential rapist, and they will try to, like Stockholm Syndrome is what we essentially think. It's just very quickly they'll fawn over them, or you're so lovely, or say someone that you know gets into a bed beside you and you don't want anything to happen, and you try to placate them by fawning over them to make them stop. And then there's flop, where people have an actual physical, their physical response is to like faint.
Okay.
So these, this is what they're trying to train people in law enforcement to realize. They're trying to train people of the judiciary to be like, no, no, just because she didn't run away or fight and there's, and her fingernails aren't red raw. These are the other responses. Or him, we know, and these are responses to trauma and violence situations, men and women.
Yes.
And we were talking today on the show to Professor Louise Crowley from UCC, and she's got this bystander intervention program. It's really interesting. Like, she's in the UCC rugby club, she's in the GA club, of being like, what you can do if you see something.
Yes.
As to how you can help. Because my God, the messages I got. Jesus Christ. Like, it's bad. How about this? Was on a packed Lewis on the way to St. James's A&E for a broken toe. Guy rubbing his very obvious erection against my leg and back. I couldn't move because of my foot. So I moved back so the people next to me could see what was happening, but they all looked away really quickly. No one wanted to get involved.
Yeah.
His erection. Lots of stories about penises being flopped upon people.
You see, and the first thing I think, I'm like, straight away when you were saying that, like an image of that happening to me pops into my head, and I want to imagine myself saying something. Excuse me, Mr. Erect Penis, you know, like, but I just know that's not the reality of actually being in that situation. You would react exactly the same way.
Make yourself small, try to get away, be like, can someone else see this?
Yeah.
But of course, no one wants to get involved.
I'd be all like nonverbal, because I'd be like, right, that's the safest thing to do or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's how you would react in that situation.
Yeah. Because it is bystand, you know, those stories of bystanders stepping in.
Yes.
And then you're like, but what's the reaction going to be? Am I physically then going to be attacked? Like, you can totally understand that.
Yeah, because there was actually something, I can't remember exactly what the details of it were, but I do remember that I witnessed something between a couple, and I was nearly going to step in or do, because I was like getting annoyed with what was going on. But then I watched for a minute, and I rightly or wrongly, I don't know, but I made the decision. I was like, right, he seems to have simmered now and left her alone. And, oh yes, this is what it was. I remember now. I was at a bus stop. You know, like, say if you're coming away from town and you're heading towards Whelan's. And there was this guy that was kind of like trying to talk to me first. But he was coming up like very, very close. And like pressing himself on me. This is like middle of the day. So whatever I did, yeah, it was very strange. Whatever I did, he moved away. But then what he did was he moved to another woman.
Oh my God.
Right. So then I was like, okay, what am I going to do? So I kind of was in her peripheral vision. Yeah. And I was like, you okay? And she gave me a nod. But then I was like, okay, I'm not really sure exactly. Is he like that? I'm like, I think she was kind of frozen. So then I moved in, and I was like, I decided not to, that's what I was going to initially say something to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I won't say something to him. I just went in and started this like random conversation with her, like as if we knew each other.
Yes.
you know, I don't know even what it was about.
100%. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To just like kind of break it up.
Yeah.
But, and then he didn't really fuck off and I was going to step in. I was kind of watching and then she got on the bus and he didn't. And I was like, oh, okay. But like, this is the middle of the day. And it was so, in my head at the time, it was so, like maybe it was just my own past things. But in my head at the time, this was all so intense. Because it was just, if you wrote out the transcript of it all, and he was just saying things like, oh, you're so beautiful. You're, you know all this like kind of thing of like, and you say, are you single? Yeah, you wouldn't be single. You're just so, you know all this like muck puke shit. Yeah. And obviously everyone else just walking past about their day. But in my brain, I was just like, panicked for this woman because I was like, I'm after getting myself away now.
Yeah.
I can't
leave her.
Just throw him onto her and go, oh, well, that's that. Yeah. But I have seen things with couples before where I was going to get involved, but then, thought he had simmered. And I felt like if I bring this back up now, this is going to escalate. It's maybe not going to be the best. You know what I mean? Or like kind of rile it up again or whatever. Yeah. But so it's sometimes it's just a case of looking at somebody and you know.
Oh yeah, having that those eyes.
Yeah.
And having people that you can kind of talk to in those situations.
Yeah.
Like I remember a friend had a very aggressive boyfriend and they were broken up a long time and he was like, he wasn't meant to be near her or any of that kind of stuff. It was very nasty. And we were out in a pub one night and he walks in. And like she just froze even just seeing him.
Okay.
Do you know, from the arguments, these stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
And I just remember one of the bouncers in Nancy's. He was like walking past and he just saw her because he knew us.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was like, what's up? What's wrong? Are you okay? And she was just frozen like this. Like nothing was really. And he was just like looking around. And this fella was boring his eyes into her. And he was like, I'm not having this. He was like, you're gone. He was like, I haven't done anything wrong. He goes, I don't want this fight. I don't know what's, but he got him out of there.
Okay,
he was like, there's something wrong here. Mm. And I know her and I don't know you. I don't know who you are, what's going on. Now, he made the right move. There's more to that story.
Yeah.
But we were very grateful to him that night for being like, going, there's something up here. And kind of having the wherewithal. And that's what we need, like training. And and that kind of the silent eyes that people can have that you will do to other girls when you're at a festival and it's whatever time in the morning or in a pub and it's just, I need you here and you go sit down or on public transport.
Yeah.
Trying not to escalate, but trying to be there. I was caught in the boot by some randomer in a nightclub a few years ago. I regretted not reacting so much. A guy rubbed my crotch once when I was in a crowded bar and I just stood there. I didn't say a word. I'm so disappointed in myself. Mm. Let's see. Sorry, there is so many of this, so many of these. Pinched arse at 9 months pregnant, walking up Cruises Street with my mam. I lost my life. 9 months pregnant. Mm-hmm. What the hell? All-Ireland final night in town. Mayo bloke literally put his hand up my vagina while I was at the bar. I froze and all his friends were roaring laughing. It still annoys me to this day. Absolutely horrible.
That's disgusting.
The laughing. Ah, it's gas.
And the thing is, if your friend told you that story, you would say to them, that's, you've nothing to, you know, you don't need to look back at that situation and be upset about how you behaved. Or you know what I mean? Yeah. But in that moment, you're so annoyed with yourself that you didn't something or, you know. But if you were talking to your friend, you'd be just like, don't be annoyed. Like,
but you'd also be like, if your friend came back and said something to you, you'd want to go up and say something.
I know.
But it's the feeling of powerlessness.
Yeah.
And it kind of puts you in the mindset of, physiologically, if something happened and a man decided he wanted to attack me, there's nothing I could do. Do you know what I mean? If it comes to a strength of test.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So that's why we're kind of conditioned to, okay, we need to de-escalate anything that could potentially happen here.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
You know? I still remember an older guy slapping my arse in the Black Door in Dublin as I walked into the bar. I got mad at him. His response was, What do you expect wearing trousers like that? Jesus Christ. In a taxi one night, the taxi man got out of the car in the middle of nowhere. He went for a pee outside the car. He asked me to pull up his zip when he got back in. Luckily, nothing happened when I said no, but I think back now and I am so enraged I didn't report it at the time.
Oh, the thing of being in cars is just so, oh my God, yeah.
I was 14 in our bathroom and it was at basement level, says this person. And I was naked looking at my new curves. My neighbor was standing in his driveway, crouched down, looking in the crack in the window. I have never told a soul, as if I was the gum for being naked in a bathroom. He was looking through a crack in the window. She had it closed. And you know when you're young and you are like looking, what's this? Where's this bum come from?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
And her neighbor was in, staring at her.
You make me watch Steel Magnolias.
I know.
Then you fucking do this to me. I'm gonna go home now.
A guy unzipped my jumpsuit. The zip was at the back. I was 25. He was maybe 45.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I didn't react like I would have wanted to. His friends tried to apologize, but they were like, it's our one night out a year. He can't help himself. The unzipping was after telling him to leave me and my friend alone approximately 10 times beforehand. He can't help himself, love. Jeremy can't help himself. He only gets away from the ball and chain one night a year. He has to go around and assault people. Can't help himself. What are you talking about?
Fuck off.
There are hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of stories.
He showed me and I knew there was going to be like a lot of responses. But I couldn't believe the extent.
I couldn't believe
it. The video just kept going. It was longer than Steel Magnolias. That's how long it was. The video was just on and on and on. But we're not surprised by it or whatever.
We're not surprised
by it. I think someone needs to like just delve into this and just
because you know? It is a culture, like there's no repercussions for an awful lot of these stories.
Yes.
Because what I was asking for with people, I was like, you know, your frozen moments. Mm. Because the repercussions of something much more serious, and we know that there are much more serious things. I do think that taking your penis out and rubbing it up against a woman when you're not in a consent condition where you might be leading towards some sort of sexual interaction with consent. Yeah, that should be reported. Most of these things should be reported to the guards. And I was really worried.
Yeah, it's not things people do and then say, oh, well, that was a bit of a thrill.
There was a lot of creepy uncle stories as well. Like just uncles being creepy, which really freaked me out.
Yeah,
and
I had a...
I had
a older person connected to family in a kitchen. This is like, very, like, you know, daytime family setting. And he was talking about... the junior cert students going out on junior cert night and wasn't it terrible and all that. Well, he was fucking tanked and his hand like starts slipping. But he was cremated, so.
His hand was going down to your boob?
Yeah. Froze. Other people in the room, it was such a sly movement.
And what, did he have his hand around you?
Yeah, like, you know, like kind of started on the shoulder. And as he's talking about, like, all these young people. Oh, puke.
Other people in the room.
Yeah, but like people were in the kitchen. So like, you know, kind of backs were turned and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm talking like, you know,
10
seconds or whatever. But he's dead, so.
There was one message. I can't find it here now. And I remember it was just like that. It was a woman whose uncle walked up to her. Grabbed both her breasts when she was about 18 and said, I remember when my wives were like that. Yeah.
All you can think about is like just like full force elbow to the fucking face. That's like the fantasy of that scenario, isn't it?
Are you ready for this? Now, there was a good few of these as well. And of course, just to let everyone know, I did talk to an awful lot of these women and be like, I hope that you reported what's going on, all this kind of stuff. Doctor yeah. story, having a pelvic internal exam for an ovarian tumor. The nurse was stood outside the curtain, and when he took his hand out of my vagina, I could see he didn't have a glove on. When I got myself together to get up off the table, I could see the glove balled up on the floor. It haunts me. I did nothing but cry all the way home for a week afterwards. Yeah. Ready for another one? First.
Oh, I don't know. That one actually really got me there.
It
I feel like I'm going to cry.
Yeah.
Okay, one more.
That's what someone did.
Oh, God, that's horrible.
She was being examined for a tumor.
Yeah.
An ovarian tumor. Yeah. Can you imagine that's... the vulnerable position that you're in?
That's just, oh, God.
First maternity appointment when pregnant with baby number one. While I was still lying on the examination table after the doctor had checked my belly, he decided to unhook my bra and give me an unnecessary breast exam. When I requested a different doctor for my care from that point on, the nurses were not even slightly surprised. Clearly happened all the time. Yeah, I have got so many stories of doctors doing that.
Because you probably got even more after you showed me as well. Yeah.
I can't even explain to you. I cannot explain to you the amount of messages.
It's so depressing that you're like, it's like shock, but not surprised.
I just don't know what we do. What about this? Went to the guards to report a peeping Tom. The guard's response was, didn't he pick a fine girl all the same? It was like something out of Dumb Believables.
Oh, for fuck.
When I read that and I had to message her, I was like, I'm actually... I burst out laughing because she described it so perfectly.
Yeah. But it's just so ridiculous. It's so ridiculous, isn't it?
What the fuck? What the fuck?
Oh, God.
In a pub years ago, a guy grabbed me from behind between my legs and pinched his fingers into my vagina and vulva. I froze in shock. He looked at the shock and upset in my face and nastily said, I must be frigid because I didn't like it. I can't explain the level of embarrassment and shame I felt. My friend told a bouncer and he kicked him out, but I was mortified and just wanted to hide. I could go on, but I'm not going to do that because I think it's just gotten a bit, it was a lot. And I did try to get back to as many people as I could. I spent basically Friday trying to get back to people. And there is a lot of people thinking about their responses to things when they were younger and indeed now and what they do. And I think that what Louise Crowley is doing in UCC with the bystander intervention program is really amazing, that we need to look at it, because we have to do something. Make a fuss, tell everyone. If you can't call it out, make a fuss after, tell someone about it. Don't let anyone ever say that you're hysterical, that you're making a big deal out of nothing, that you can't take a joke. That's not true. It's their joke. We're not included in the joke. We're being left out from the joke. The joke has nothing to do with us. We are being made fun of. And we don't have to be complicit in that. We do not have to be okay with what people are doing to us. And again, I really do know it's not all men. And I know that there are so many amazing men, and we don't ever want to make men think that they're automatically perpetrators. But we can all be in this together by going, no, this isn't okay.
Yeah, I think it's kind of about not the normalization of unacceptable behavior has to stop, doesn't it? Yeah. That our normal needs to be, we need to like move it on.
Yeah. I think I thought it'd be kind of that we were making it worse. Like, there's been so much talk about consent.
Yeah.
But like, so many messages from 18 year olds gone. And I was like, yeah.
It's the exact but I same think it's, it I think it's ago. Kind of what you said. It's about, I think it definitely there's a feeling of like the bigger picture.
Yeah.
There's of a course. Level of understanding.
Because we're trying to do something. Yeah. Like, finally, people are getting custodial sentences for raping people, which wasn't a thing that happened before. Yeah,
but I think this, like, you know, on the scale, not, you know, not to diminish them, but the smaller, you know, everyday kind of...
The everyday microaggressions, absolutely. Yeah, the things
it is.
And it clearly affected a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And people, like, you think back to these moments and go, why didn't I do something?
Oh, yeah. No, to be honest, like a couple of them where you were saying it, I was just like, I was starting to think of like scenarios. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I was like memories.
Stuff comes back.
Yeah.
This was the thing. I started, it was this one thing and then all these people's stories. Yeah. And I was like, yep, that's happened. That's mm-hmm. happened. That's happened. That's happened. And you try not to think about them. And then you think of that. And I think I would like to apologize because I'm sure there's people who, if you've made it to the end of this very dark episode, going, Jesus, that happened to me. And it's not cool.
Yeah.
And we should be able to say that without thinking that we are being minus crack.
Well, I hope any of the people that messaged you even got a little bit of like relief from being able to tell somebody else about it. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Just be able to say it like you're not alone. This is a behavior that's been normalized, but we don't have to think that it's normal. And it's happening to millions of people all the time. It's not cool.
We're going to talk about fucking paddle pushers next week. Yeah. What you think? Do you rate them or not? What you're doing on your summer holidays? Are you using dry shampoo? That kind of thing. Yeah. Because I'm a fucking wreck now. I've been Emma Dorn. She's been fucking Mairn O'Connell.
And this has been...
And another thing. Hope you're well.
Hope you're well, yeah. Did we just do a holly there?
A holly?
First of all, I hope you're okay.
No, come on.
Thanks for listening. If you made it to the end, fair play to you. Talk to you again soon.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.